This will be good because we got college football playoff thoughts, week 18 in the NFL, a wrap up. Let's start. I'm with the mafia. The college football playoff expansion was a good thing. I don't know if people agree with this, but think about it. Wide open, and we're settling it on the field. The final four teams, yeah, we got a number one seed, but we also have a 5, a 6, and the 10 seed. Last year, it was 5, 6, 7, and 8, with the 8 seed winning the national title. I don't care if you think Georgia's better or you think Alabama's better. We're going to let them decide between the white lines. It gave the sport a meaningful postseason with new blood.
So this is not an overreaction. I like more football. I think just like they did from year one of the 12-team playoff to year two, they made some tweaks, right? It was they got rid of the auto seeding. That was a good move. Now I want to see them get rid of the group of five, the JMUs, the two lanes. I
Why?
Don't need to see because I want to see good football.
Me too.
They're terrible football, but I also
want to
see.
Leave out the SEC. They stink.
That's fine. I want to see more good football. I don't care if you're the seventh team in the SEC. You're going to spank JMU. You're going to do the same thing to Tulane. Like, I don't need to see those games anymore. I also don't want to see a 13-ranked Notre Dame. The memorandum of understanding, get rid of all that BS. Like, that's what I don't need to see. I'm fine with the 12-team playoffs. I also think they need to tweak when it happens.
Agreed.
Like, don't have this layoff where everybody says, well, you know, the bye week and not playing affects those teams versus the teams that are playing. Just, hey, a week after the season's over, start your games and do it on a weekly basis and then have your championship game. We should already have it in.
I agree. There are still tweaks that need to be made, but I'm so happy we're not doing hypotheticals anymore.
You know what? Like you said, 7 of the 8 dogs have advanced to the Final Four the last 2 years. It's showing the parity of the sport. I think you're getting this combination of the portal and how it's brought parity, and it's hurting the top SEC teams and helping the more bottom teams. But look at this. I mean, it comes down to a couple things for me this year. Is Ohio State, they got exposed. People said they didn't play anybody. Mm-hmm. They played somebody. They lost. And then the other thing is, do you want Ole Miss Georgia to be an elimination game in the regular season or not? Right. How do you feel about that? If you want that to be, then you want the old way. I like this way where teams and seasons happen. And you see it in the NFL right now where, you know,
it builds up. You could choose to have your regular season mean more. And every sport, we want our postseason to mean more. And college football finally got with the picture.
Do you believe
Lane Kiffin made a mistake? LSU has more resources, but in a wide open field, we just got done talking about it. Indiana and Ole Miss are showing you don't have to be a, quote, destination prestige program. On top of it, Lane gambled that Ole Miss would be eliminated already. His staff has split while the portal is open. He made a mistake.
Too early to say this because we'll see what he does at LSU. And I know the resources. I know the paycheck he's getting. He's still getting a paycheck because Ole Miss is still winning. So,
wild.
No, he didn't make a mistake. But it's going to take some time for us to see what he can do at LSU. Now, I ultimately do think he made a mistake. I think he could have stayed at Ole Miss. They would have built statues to him. And he could have been paid probably as much or just about as much and been able to have not as much pressure as he'll face. It's going to be, hey, you get 3 years to win a national championship. If not, we're going to treat you the same way we did Kelly.
I think this is an overreaction. Look, there's 91 million reasons why. This is an overreaction. Seriously, he got paid. He jumped to a juggernaut of a program in LSU that I think he can have great success at. And look, this might be a different answer in a couple of weeks if Ole Miss wins it all.
Right. The Big Ten is better than the SEC. We can say it definitively, loud and proud. The Big Ten will play for a third national title in 3 years with three different teams. The SEC could go another year without even making the title game. You could argue the SEC's deeper, but I've never heard us argue that we decide conferences by who their sixth best team is.
Right.
The SEC in the postseason, 2-7 when they don't play one another.
I don't think this is an overreaction, especially if you're looking at a third year in a row where it's a Big Ten team that's going to win a national title. That's the ultimate goal, win a national title. Michigan, Ohio State, and it could be Indiana, it could be Oregon. Like there are options for the Big Ten. And I love the fact, and maybe the most fun game was Iowa beating Vanderbilt and the D-bag that has become, you know, Pavia.
Yeah. Look, we got the varsity up in the north, and we got the junior varsity in the south, the changing of the guard.
That might be a little heavy, but all right. Yeah, the Big Ten's better. They've won two straight natties, and they're going to have at least one team playing for a third straight one. And if the SEC, if Ole Miss doesn't win, the SEC's out the last 3 years. I mean, to me, this is a fact right now. This is not an overreaction.
We're both trying to pull and tug at it. I still don't remember saying that. Myles Garrett is one of the five greatest defensive players in NFL history. Maybe prisoner of the moment, but consider the following. He just set the single season sack record. He's en route to his second Defensive Player of the Year award. Only eight players have ever done it. He plays another 4 or 5 years. He'll be top three all time in sacks. He's one of the five greatest defensive players in NFL history.
I don't know. I think we got to wait and see what the end is, because he still has time to play. Because you're talking about some great players. Reggie White, Deion Sanders. And you go back to Ronnie Lott.
LT.
LT.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say.
He fits in that group.
He does fit, but if you're only talking about five guys, is he six? Am I going to sit here and disparage Myles Garrett because he's only sixth best? I don't know that I'd put him in the top five yet.
This is an overreaction, okay? Look, win. The other guys won.
Yeah, oh, we're going to hold it against him?
At some point, you got to translate to actually winning on the field. And, you know, we've talked about schedules in the first hour of the show. The Browns never play anybody difficult, so he's feasting on patsies to a degree. He's in a tough division. I'll give him that. And I'm not trying to disparage him. I just think there's a major overreaction. I'm sorry. My viewing life, so I'm not, all due respect to somebody like Deacon Jones and all that, I didn't see him play. But there's no way Myles Garrett is entering Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Ronnie Lott, Deion Sanders, and Aaron Donald. They all got Super Bowls, and they all were great defensive
players.
But
when he starts throwing the ball and playing quarterback and play, like, he does his job at an elite level. He's a three-down player, not one of these situational pass rushers. And guys, the sack numbers are more impressive when you consider the Browns hardly ever have a lead. Think about that. The other team can just run the ball because his team's hardly ever playing with a lead where he can pin his ears back.
And you mentioned Deacon Jones. Like, I never played against him. I did. I have watched a lot of his film, but you're also watching it against, like, it's a different era. Training was different. The offensive linemen were different. I watch him and I watch him dominate. Would he be able to do that in today's game? We have no idea.
This is the one I feel the strongest about today. The Chicago Bears are a pretender. 29th in total defense. They rely on turnovers to get here. They have six come-from-behind wins in the final 2 minutes. You get credit for winning these games, but is it sustainable? Come playoff time, they will be dispatched quickly. Pretender.
Well, I would say they would be dispatched quickly, except for the fact that they're playing Green Bay. So they may make it to the second round. What does the second round look like? Who the hell knows? I do think they are maybe the worst team I can't say that because Carolina's in.
Yeah. But think about this. They are underdogs at home in their playoff game.
I think this is barely an overreaction, okay? They won at Philly. That kind of catapulted them into winning the division and making the playoffs. And you know what? The Lions didn't win there. So that win is why I can't call them a pretender.
It's the proper thickness and length.
Yes, it is. Matthew Stafford should be the MVP. I know Drake May is the prohibitive favorite, the media darling. Everybody assumes it should be Drake May. Why? Matthew Stafford threw 15 more touchdown passes. Same number of interceptions. Stafford led the way in passing yards and big-time throws. He also played at a much tougher division. Why is this a foregone conclusion? It's Drake May. Matthew Stafford's the MVP.
Well, I think the conclusion also is Matthew Stafford had better weapons versus what Drake May had. Now, I don't disagree. I don't think this is an overreaction. I think Matthew Stafford should be the MVP this year. But you start looking at, you know, Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and the running game. He had a lot more weapons and a better defense than what we've seen Drake May do.
We've talked about schedules all morning. The Patriots' schedule was cake compared to the Rams. The Rams played in a division that had three teams win 12 games or more. He's got the 15 more touchdowns, like he said. He's got more yards. People are overreacting to Matthew Stafford's one or two bad games kind of down the stretch here. He is the MVP, and I actually think there should be a little bit of a career achievement element to this with him.
Mm-hmm. Think about it. 46 touchdowns. Drake May has 31. Why is this close?
Right. I agree with you.
In addition to being a creep, he's a moron. The Panthers should not have a home playoff game. Look, I'm cool with them getting in because they won the division. But you should not be getting seeding preferences. It should be like the college football playoff, where you're not guaranteed a bye just because you win your conference. The Panthers winning the South with a losing record gets them in the playoffs and nothing more.
Well, and the interesting thing is, when the Rams went to the Panthers, the Panthers beat them.
One, I know.
So I'm going to say this is an overreaction. And I understand they have a losing record, but they did win their division. It's a terrible division, but they did what they had to do. And why should they have to go on the road to the Rams when they beat the Rams at home already?
Because it's a full season. Reseed.
I understand that.
Reseed come playoff time.
Not only should they not have a home game, they shouldn't be in the playoffs, and you just take the top 7 teams from each conference. Sports needs to get rid of divisions, okay? Divisions are stupid.
It says, Mew, tonight is the Pistons' biggest regular season game they've played in 20 years. They're going to face the Knicks. It's number one versus number two. This is it, John. The biggest game in 20 years.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I didn't go through all of their regular seasons.
Oh, you didn't?
You weren't going to
this. Well, Jim, I'm like, yeah.
Jim, there was a March game in 2012 that was bigger than this.
No, I wasn't going to go full Tony Romo on this. Ooh, Jim.
I mean, what would be bigger?
That's a drop.
Full stop.
Let me help you out, John, on this one, all right? Before we get off the rails here.
Yeah.
This is an overreaction. It's the second biggest regular season game in the last 20 years.
Okay.
I've got April 6, 2006. The Pistons went to Miami and won a game pretty convincingly against Dwayne Wade. People thought they were going to win the NBA title after that. That's a bigger game than tonight's game.
So if I had said the biggest in 19 years.
Yes. Okay. I got you by 3 months here. I found it. And the reason I remember this is when Stoney said Miami Heat are done, and he buried them.
And for those that don't remember, the Miami Heat would go on to win the NBA championship that season.
Yes.
Those are your overreact, Jim's 97-1. Tell you about KG Law. Winter means snow. It means icy roads. It means more serious injuries from car accidents. If you're injured in a car accident, call Lawrence KG, and he'll make sure you and your loved ones get paid big for your injuries. KG is uniquely qualified to fight for you when you're injured in a car accident. KG's won more than $100 million for his clients, and he'll win big for you. He'll make the driver that hit you accountable, and he'll fight their insurance company to get you every dollar you deserve. 877-KG-CARES. That's K-A-J-Y, 877-KG-CARES, or visit kgcares.com. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Michigan's minimum wage jumped from $12.48 to $13.73 per hour on January 1st, marking a significant increase that has obviously workers celebrating, but some restaurant owners are expressing concerns about rising operational costs. So the wage increase obviously affects thousands of workers across the states. Tipped employees are also seeing their base pay increase to $5.49 per hour. Obviously, those employees, those workers are very excited about that. Who wouldn't be excited about an increase in pay? But the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association believes that the increase in minimum wage will strain the restaurant industry. The restaurant industry is expected to see the revenue is projected to remain flat for 2026. So it's believed that some restaurants may be forced to either cut labor or raise menu prices to keep their doors open. So I guess we'll kind of have to see what happens there. But the wage increase is part of Michigan's plan to gradually raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour by 2027.
Yeah, just increase the menu prices versus the service charge that they want to put on there.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of that.
They don't hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a hidden fee kind of. And some people don't even look. Right. And they just pay their bill. But a rideshare driver and his passenger were injured in a shooting on the lodge on Saturday morning. So according to police, the shooting happened right around 9 a.m. after this 30-year-old rideshare driver from Hamtramck entered the freeway. And while on the lodge, the vehicle was reportedly shot at multiple times by an unknown suspect. Both the driver and a 17-year-old passenger in the vehicle were hit. The driver was able to pull over. They were both taken to a local hospital in critical condition. Troopers searched the freeway for evidence. They're currently working to determine the motive and obviously more behind this shooting. And if you know or have any information, you're obviously asked to call the police. Myles Garrett made NFL history on Sunday with his 23rd sack of the season, breaking the league's record for most sacks in a single season. And when it happened, game officials allowed a stoppage in play for about a minute so that he could celebrate with his teammates. And that delay occurred at kind of a critical moment late in the fourth quarter of the game. This was the game between the Browns and the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And because of that stoppage in play, the head coach of Cincinnati, Zach Taylor, was not happy. He was not happy that he didn't know that they were going to allow this celebration, and he kind of made it known in his post-game conference that, man, he was upset by that.
I get his point, but this is a huge moment. I don't have any problem with them taking 60 seconds to allow Myles Garrett and the Browns organization to celebrate. They didn't have much to celebrate this year.
No, they didn't. I wanted to get your thoughts. Did Burrow pull a Favre? Looked like he gave up on that play a little too easy.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I mean, there was no escape. So, no.
He went down quickly.
But he's also a guy that's been sacked and hurt. Yeah. I think he's a little gun shy. So, no, I don't think he gave up on that one.
Well, former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and his wife are expected to make their first court appearance in New York City today, 2 days after the U.S. captured them in a surprise attack. The two have been charged with major drug and weapon offenses. President Trump called the mission successful and announced that the U.S. would run Venezuela at least temporarily. He also said that we will tap into Venezuela's vast oil resources. Well, carrying on an annual tradition dating back to 1976, Lake Superior State University has released its 50th annual banished words list.
Okay.
So these are all words that they believe have been overused this last year and should be banished in 2026. And basically what they do is they let a lot of people just submit their ideas. And this year they had over 1,400 submissions, not just from people here in the U.S., but kind of all over the world. And these are the top 10 words that they believe should be banished this year. Number one, 6-7.
Yep, okay.
Words or phrases, I guess I should say. Yeah. And I think a lot of parents probably are like, yes, let's put an end to this, the 6-7. Demure, number two. Cooked, number three.
Cooked
like,
as in,
like, I'm cooked, I'm exhausted, or she's over there, she's cooked, like she's
hot? No,
like she's an expert at, like, let her cook. Poor. She's working on her whatever she's good at, or he or they, whatever.
Not that she's been used too many times.
Oh, no. Massive. Obviously, it can be meaning like it.
Large.
Huge, big, but also it could be like awesome. Like, whoa, that was so massive. That was a sweet
Important.
Play. That was a massive play or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Incentivize. Number five. Full stop. Yes.
Is incentivize being overused? I feel like nobody uses that word.
Yeah, I don't.
But now remember, these were submitted by people all over the world. So maybe, somewhere else it's used all the time. Full stop.
Okay.
I get that. Perfect.
Perfect?
Okay.
Like,
we'll ask
TJ about that pitch.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I watched that last night.
Oh, you did?
Did
part
you?
Of it.
With TJ.
I love Pitch Perfect is one of my favorite bad movies. Like, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I was watching Pitch Perfect 2.
That's the one with TJ, right? He's in the sequel.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I didn't see his part yet. I didn't watch the whole thing, it was on last night.
Full stop.
I watched it. Yeah. Gifted as in a verb. Like, I gifted them a candle.
You gave them a candle.
Yeah.
Just say you gave them a candle.
My bad. and reach out.
Okay. Tether with the
Get
news.
Get rid of them, I guess. Mm-hmm.
If you want to let us know what you think, reach out. 248-539-9797.
I'm trying to use all these words throughout the course of the show today.
Yeah, look, we got...
I've been incentivized to use them.
There's a massive offseason ahead for Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. Speaking of Dan Campbell, we have his locker room speech. We play it after Lions wins. This week is no different.
I didn't expect anything different.
John, you've been in that spot before.
What did he say the game ball was?
Jake Bates.
Oh.
Made a couple kicks.
Yeah, game winner.
Yeah. End of the season, you don't have anything to play for except pride. What did you take from it?
Pride. There's no pressure on that game. I know that, they win. They end with a winning record. It just frustrates me when you play that way without some of your best players. Obviously we know most of the entire defensive secondary was still out. Penei Sewell was out, yet you're still able to rush for 122 yards. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But you see the potential that is there. Now you just need to see it over the course of 17 games. We only saw it 9 times. And yeah, they were, when Dan says, in some of those games, not all of them, they were one play away from winning those games. And if they make that one play, they could have been not just in the playoffs, they could have been division winners.
Yeah, that's thin of a margin. Look, for the guys that showed up, that's their job. I don't ever expect players or coaches to let their foot off the gas or to lay down or to quit. If you're playing, you're playing your ass off. If you're playing, you're playing to win. I expected those guys who played to try to win that football game, and they did. I'm not mad at them for winning the football game. I would have preferred a couple spots of draft pick over the warm fuzzies, but that's the fan perspective. The coaches and players need to be trying to win every time they take the field.
I wonder Brad Holmes' take on that, because he's in the player acquisition business.
Yeah, his job gets a little harder.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, in deep down in those places no one talks about, was he sitting there going, oh, now you're going to win?
I think that's how fans felt. That's how I felt. If you're going to put that performance out, you're finally going to mix in some zone coverage and you're going to win the line of scrimmage, do it 2 weeks ago and three weeks ago and too little too late.
Yep. That's what's frustrating about it.
If you want to say we're tough and we have pride, you proved that weeks ago. And I think your point about pressure is a really interesting one. It's something I really didn't fixate on, but you've played and there's a difference in playing with pressure on Christmas Day or playing with pressure against the Steelers versus playing free and loose with nothing to lose.
Yeah, on the road in Chicago.
But you are judged by how you handle pressure. That's why we've talked about it. They failed this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's 97-1. Good morning. Happy New Year, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Gang's all back together for the new year. TJ Lang will join us in the 9 o'clock hour on today's show. We're talking all about the Lions season now that it's over. Officially. We knew they couldn't make the playoffs going into yesterday's game. They won, and that may left you feeling a certain type of way. We'll keep exploring our feelings today, John. But let's talk about the reality of this. The number one reason the Lions missed the playoffs. As the dust settles, what would you say the number one reason is?
And I know Brendan had it in maybe it was the first update in regards to the games that they were able to rush for over 100 yards or won the rushing battle. They were, 9-1?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge part of this offense. For this offense to operate at maximum efficiency, you've got to be able to run the football. You've got to be able to protect the quarterback. Well, if you run the ball, it's much easier to protect your quarterback. And I mentioned this last year when the season was over and we got a chance to look back, they ran the ball 51% of the time. Of the times that they passed, they also were in play action pass 50% of the time. So 75% of the time, you're allowing your offensive line to be the aggressor. That is an offense I would have died to play in for just 1 year.
Well, explain that to people, because as a pass blocker,
you're running backwards while the defender is running forwards. It's a disadvantage. And yeah, there are things that you can do to get an advantage. But if those are the numbers and you're able to fire off the ball, whether it's to sell run and ultimately your pass blocking, or to actually be the aggressor in run blocking, it makes your life so much easier.
Look, the stat that Brendan gave is probably going to be true for a lot of teams. Typically, the winning team runs for more yards because they're playing with a lead running the clock out. So those stats aren't always a perfect indicator, but I do think it's perfect to describe this football team. This football team's identity is wrapped around the idea that they manhandle you at the line of scrimmage, reset that line of scrimmage 3, 4, 5 yards down the field, and a back like Montgomery is going to fall forward. A back like Gibbs is going to get that crease, and it's going to be an explosive. Too many times this year, they couldn't reset the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the football. And whatever the numbers say, it's a down in and down out issue. It just wasn't there reliably. It wasn't there when they needed it in big spots. And the result was they couldn't convert as many of those third and fourth downs. They weren't as good in those money downs. Mm-hmm. They weren't as good as they had been. And it put Jared Goff in a position where he had to be a superhero. And he actually played fairly well this season. But it's
I think he played really well this season.
But it's just not a formula that's going to lead to many wins for this football team.
No. And, I mean, there's plenty of things you could talk about defensively.
Yeah.
And it's you need to be able to win the rushing battle, but part of that battle is being able to stop the run. And the one place where they did not suffer injuries is in the front seven.
Right. And think about this too, John. You can help a defense by keeping them off the field. Well, how do you sustain TOP? I mean, you can convert some passes, but really it's about running the football. And think about it. In two of their swing games at the end of the season, the Rams game and the Steelers game, the third quarter, they hardly possessed the ball. Didn't they have negative 3 yards in the third quarter against the Steelers? They left their defense out to dry. And against the Rams, that game was a shootout. They had to keep up. Their third quarter stalled out. They couldn't move the ball. If you can't possess it, you're only going to put your defense in a bad spot. And it's not like this defense was the 85 Bears.
Right. And some of it is, okay, you can even win the time of possession, but you look and you're like, oh, man, the defense looks tired. When you go three and out,
yep.
And the defense is back on the field 2 minutes after they just got off the field. And then you allow, you know, the opponent's offense to go on a 10-play drive. And then all of a sudden, hey, your offense, just get a first down. They're unable to. And then you're back on the field in another 2 minutes. Like, it's, you could still win the time of possession, but it's how it's all sequenced.
Yeah. They're sequencing. They couldn't be that team consistently. And I think it all distills back to they need to be able to run the football better.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other reasons they missed the playoffs, and we'll collect those on the phones and the text. 248-539-9797. How big a deal are, because I know we're going to get these texts and these calls, how big a deal in your mind are the injuries?
Well, they're a factor. They're always going to be a factor. But then you look and you see a team like San Francisco, who defensively, they were brutalized. Their number one linebacker, gone. Their number one edge rusher, gone. Like, I would argue that they had more impactful players gone than the Lions had.
Yeah.
And they still were able to find ways to make stops. Now, ultimately, they didn't win their division, but they were in a much tougher division.
Yeah, and they're still playing.
Yeah.
And they were playing for the one seed in the final week of the season.
Yeah.
With losing Bosa and Warner, and they missed Purdy for a good chunk of the season, their starting quarterback. How many teams are going to miss their starting quarterback for more than a month and make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows you. Like, how about Pittsburgh when they played here? Their left side of their offensive line were backup players, and they're running 40-yard chunk plays on us with Jack Campbell and Aiden Hutchinson and Aleem McNeil all playing.
Yeah, I mean, so there are a lot more factors other than just being able to run the football. But for this offense and for this team, the way it's constructed, their path to victory, you've got to be able to run the football.
I mean, I totally agree, the trenches, but I can't get past 0-4 against the Packers and Vikings. That's why we're sitting here today in this situation.
Yeah.
You can break it down to why did that happen. I was alarmed by the first game by how the Packers physically dominated the Lions.
I think everybody was.
Yeah.
And I think the Vikings and Packers over the last couple years have built themselves to beat the Lions.
Yes.
And that needs to change big time.
But it's interesting. They've done it differently. Like, their defenses are very different.
Yes.
Minnesota is your aggressive blitzing, zero blitzes, stunts, twists, games, mugging up on the line of scrimmage. Green Bay, especially when they had Parsons, were a team that would zone you, drop back. But both of them are clearly designed to beat the Lions.
Yeah, and make the Lions work it down the field slowly.
Yes.
And I think the whole grit and physicality thing is definitely brought up in preparation by those two teams. When they're preparing for the Lions, they're saying, hey, this is what this team's all about. They think they're more physical than you. They think they're going to grind you out play by play. And I think the Vikings and Packers have totally matched them in that. So that mirage has gone away now. Now it's about talent and scheming back against them. They have to counter. Those teams have answered the Lions' call, and now the Lions need to counter it back.
Yeah, the Lions aren't outworking the other teams at this point. Like, and some of this is you go from being the hunter to the hunted. Mm-hmm. You go from being the underdog, and you play that card, but then you win 15 games. You get a tough schedule. You get everybody's best shot, and if you're not up to the challenge of out-physicaling people anymore, or they have raised their level to meet you, suddenly you get caught. I think that shows up the most, though, in the run game, to take it all back to that, right? I mean, that's where you really form the physical identity of a football team.
Yeah. And when you're talking about being able to convert on third downs or making those third down, you know, conversions, you know you're going to go for it on fourth down. When do you want to be able to be at your best in the run game? Fourth and one, fourth and two. And that's where this team really struggled.
Number one reason they missed the playoffs. Guys, I know we need a bunch of content for you to babble on and on about. However, the number one reason why they didn't make the playoffs was officiating. The real conversation is what they need to do to go. The real conversation is what they need to do in order to have a team that's worthy of going deep in the playoffs, as this team wasn't going to win a Super Bowl. But the station doesn't want to have real conversations. Word soup. Huh. This from the guy that thinks officiating kept the Lions out of the playoffs? Okay.
There's a lot of different reasons why the Lions are where they are right now.
But you wouldn't put officiating near the top of the list.
No, I wouldn't even put that on the list.
Okay, good. We got phone calls to get to, more of your text. It's 97.1.
Hey, stop waiting for a breakdown in the cold. Take a time out and call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They'll do a complete furnace checkup and make sure it's running properly and safely. Right now, it's only $79. That's $30 off the regular price, and that's $79 per unit. Give them a call today because spots fill up quickly, especially in cold temps. Don't forget, Mastercraft does plumbing, electrical, and generators as well, all at discounted prices. So give them a call now. You can find more information on the web at mastercraftheating.com. That's mastercraftheating.com.
. 8 o'clock, we'll get into how that game had you feeling. That win left you feeling blank. 8:02. Right now, just talking about why they're not in the playoffs. The number one reason the Lions didn't make the playoffs, and we focused on offensive line and run game as the identity and the toughness of this football team. And it bared out in the games they won versus the games they lost. But there's more than one reason this team missed the playoffs. So, some of your thoughts. Guys, the number one reason is our center position, how we lost Frank and not having a replacement. So many other factors, but that is number one. I think when you combo meal it too with losing Zeitler and having to replace him with a rookie, not that Ratledge couldn't turn into a good football player, but having the domino effect, I think that really hurt. And then it's not like Mahogany was all that experienced at the left guard spot.
Right, and injured for a large part of the season when they needed him the most.
Guys, the Lions missed the playoffs because of, all caps, arrogance. Brad Holmes and Dan Gamble's were good. I do think they fell in love with their own, John.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, because they're going to have to do business differently in regards to the salary cap. Salary caps, first of all, they're going to have to make some adjustments with whether it's, obviously, with Jared Goff's contract, probably some other ones to clear up cap space. And if they do, a guy that played really well but isn't being paid yet is Roy Lopez.
Right.
And did he play himself out of being able to stay in Detroit because Detroit just can't afford him?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, and it's not like he's going to break the bank, but he'll probably get $6 or $7 a year.
And every dollar is going to be tighter for Detroit now. Plus, there's guys that they're going to want to extend from their own group of guys, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about Jack Campbell.
Yeah. Great year.
Right? Jahmyr Gibbs, a fifth-year option pickup. Do they want to roll? I mean, here's the thing. They're locking these guys up a couple years early, taking care of their own, but they can't do it through the draft alone.
And what's the status of Kirby Joseph?
Right.
Is his injury, is he done?
Right. And look, you can get out from under that deal, but not for another year or two.
Right.
There's going to be dead cap associated if they want to move out from any of these guys. So they've made it harder on themselves. I think they fell in love with their own. They took care of their own. The answers on the trenches were we got our own guys. The coordinator promotions were guys that were in the family, guys they were familiar with. He uses the word arrogance, but I mean, I agree with the sentiment that they fell in love with their own.
Yeah, but let's go back and say, you know, okay, when they signed Ali McNeil, was that a good signing?
Yeah, I think we all felt like nobody complained about that. Yeah.
At that time. Now, we didn't know he was going to tear his ACL. We didn't know he was going to be a non-factor this year. Kirby Joseph, that's the one where I look at it and go, I don't know that I would have done that, knowing that Brian Branch. But Brian Branch
also dealing with an injury.
Yeah, I know. And J-Mo, like, there are a few of them that raised an eyebrow, and now we're going to have to see how they manage the cap along with paying, you know, and fulfilling the commitments to those contracts.
There's more to juggle. Biggest reason the Lions missed the playoffs, Brad Holmes. Guys, when the Lions had the better offensive line, the Packers and the Vikings couldn't touch us. A young line with issues led to four losses against those two teams. Guys, we went from a team that ran it down your throat with Montgomery to just trying to be explosive with Gibbs. Dan got caught up with big plays and what looks good instead of punishing people and eating the clock. Well, I don't think they could run it consistently enough.
Right, and that goes to your O-line issues. I mean, when Dan took over the offense, it was markedly better. Now, do I want him to be the offensive coordinator moving forward? No, I don't think that's the best path forward. But it ultimately, the reason that they were in this position was because they couldn't stop anyone. Yeah.
Too many people are overreacting to the Lions season. Two games away from having the two seed. Also have to watch a team with a losing record host a playoff game. It's how the NFL goes.
Yes, but then you look and say, okay, well, where are those two games? The easiest ones to pick out are the two losses to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And those are certainly frustrating. And you look at the losses, okay, at the time, Kansas City loss. Nobody really thought that that was a bad loss because there were some good wins before that, the way that they handled Baltimore in Baltimore. Like, it does all even out. And then you get towards the end of the season, it's the two losses to Minnesota and the Pittsburgh loss. Those are the ones that eat at you.
Yeah, and that's why I would say they earned sitting home.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't like they were wronged or they got like a bad break. They didn't play well enough. They weren't good enough. And it took us a while to reach that conclusion because we thought, you know, hey, rattling around somewhere in there, they would have put together a couple wins at the end of the season and that's all it would have taken. They just weren't good enough. 248-539-9797. In terms of like how far away are they? I know we'll do more of that this week. One big boost is that last place schedule.
Sure.
I think the Bears benefited from it. I think the Patriots benefited from it. The fact that the Lions next year play the Jets, Giants, Cardinals, bunch of bottom feeder Saints.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly like that.
Yeah. And again, it won't be enough if they don't do more up front, but it does give them a bounce back path.
You're still going to always have to win in your division. And 2-4 in your division is not going to get it done.
There is a bounce back path for this team, but they got to put the work in. They'll also play the Titans next year. All right, let's get to the phones. James in White Lake. James, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to say a pleasure to listen to you guys all season. It's been awesome.
Thanks.
I wanted to get your guys' take on, you guys mentioned the offensive line, even an extension of that. Losing Sam and Brock Wright within the span of 3 weeks, I think, was hyper detrimental to this team. What do you guys think?
I think it's a smart phone call. It's an extension of the run game, right?
Yeah, Sam LaPorta and his ability as a run blocker, not just as a major target for Jared Goff. Jared Goff was able to overcome that. It would have been much easier for him and more productive if LaPorta had been there. But I think the run game, whether it's his backside cutoffs or it's being able to set the edge on the front side, like I think that was a major factor.
And they lost them both pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, one after another. That stuff matters. They started running more Dan Skipper and jumbo sets, and those are compromises you make. You're just not as dynamic of an offense.
Yeah.
Let's get to Jermaine in Rochester. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, I think the number one thing that I think that we're just looking at it, but it's coaching. I mean, I think a lot of these games, especially the Minnesota ones, we can say Lions got our coached. And I think it's a lot of it is because, you know, Dan had a lot on his plate. But the fact of the matter is, I think the Lions were built after last year, 14 or 16-1. They put the league on notice. They were the top dogs. We know how to bite kneecaps. We know how to fight from the bottom. But when you fight from the top, it's a little different. When people are scheming against you, the entire league, because you were the top dog, even though you didn't make it, you had one of the most potent offenses. They didn't know how to counter that. I liken it to back in the day with the Pistons with Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle put the Pistons on top, but we got rid of him to bring Larry Brown in to teach him how to win once they were top dogs. And I think we're looking at the same thing. And I'm not saying Fardin, absolutely not.
I guess that's going to be my follow-up.
They just need to look at how they're coaching.
Well, and I have coordinator spots, right? Are they going to bring in an offensive coordinator as a play caller to take that off of Dan's plate? Will he consider a change at DC if a more experienced upgrade is available? I mean, these are ways that Dan could make his coaching staff better.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is very much like year one of Dan Campbell with Anthony Lynn. John Morton is probably not long for the Detroit area, and he is going to bring in an offensive coordinator. I would anticipate that being a top move for Dan Campbell.
Guys, coaching was the reason they didn't make the playoffs. Rod in Bama, so he echoes that last caller. Coaching on both sides of the ball from an unnamed texter. The third quarter is why the Lions aren't in the playoffs. It must have been nap time at halftime.
Well, obviously, against the Rams, against Pittsburgh, that's really what bit them in the backside. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to come out and do something in the third quarter.
All right, guys, 8 o'clock hour. We'll get more of your phone calls. Number one reason why they missed the playoffs and that win left you feeling blank. It's all coming up next, 97.1.